Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show here on the Voice of Vachon. We're located on beautiful Vachon Island, Washington. That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussions of current events laced with humor and empathy, and we try to hold up his tradition as best we can. Brian's motto was, less is more, more or less. And of course, the obvious offered much more. And we're doing our best to hang in there. We have a bit of an abbreviated panel this morning. I'll get to who we have and who we don't have in just a moment. But our Briefly panel includes our legal consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, and two-time Fulbright Scholar, Mr. Craig Bellis. Good morning, Craig. Do I have your mic on?
I don't know. Testing.
Now I do.
Now we do. Yeah, there. Sorry. Good morning, Truman. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
I thought maybe you'd cut me out of the show.
No. Are you kidding?
I mean, you can't afford to. We don't.
There's not a chance, Val. Not today. So our historian and professor, party animal on Down Under aficionado, Dr. Bruce Hallman, is unfortunately away today. He had to take his lovely wife, Pam, for a doctor's appointment in Tacoma. So he had to bury out. And our fairy maven and part-time political playwright and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreher, is coordinating some shenanigans out in Montana. She's actually in a conference out there. So she's away. But
wow, who's left?
Well, thank goodness, our defender of justice, mariner, cyclist, and our former top secret engineer, Mr. Kevin Jones, is here. Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. That's me. Yes. Good morning. Great to be here. And I hope that Bruce and Amy are off enjoying a beautiful day wherever they might be, and thinking of us and helping to bring information and insight to our listeners.
There awesome you go. And I should mention that if you sound a little bit hollow, that's because Kevin is on Zoom today. He's sitting at his lovely home rather than coming into the studio with us hardcore guys, you know, just lounging there at home.
But we do have the strong team here today.
Indeed. Yeah. We hope to have a guest here in a little while. Tamara Stone is going to be here, we hope. She's been writing herd on the Voice of Vachon's upcoming The Voice contest, which is going to be October 17th at the Vachon Center for the Arts. We'll see if she shows up or not.
I think she will. She kind of assured me last night that she would be here.
Okay. Well, Craig, it sounds like you got a little bit of a hoarse voice here. What's going on?
I got a little hoarsey voice. I don't know what's going on. I guess I'm developing a radio voice.
Well, I call it my captain's voice myself. Right. But
So I feel fine. I feel fine.
So what have you been up to this week?
I had a great week. I had a number of things. Last Thursday, I had my morning scramble show, and I always loved the topic or the theme we had that day. MJ Witt, who's been a guest on our show a couple times, here, mm-hmm. Was my co-host sitting in for Mike Nichols and Steve Diablo Blanco Holtz, who were not able to come in. But we did rockabilly, the legends of rockabilly and the the birth of rock and roll, basically 1951 to 1956.
You know what bugs the heck out of me about your show?
What?
It's only once a month, and I can never remember to listen on the first Thursday of the month.
But we have an answer to that here on the Voice of Vachon.
Yes,
it's archived. You can go to voiceofvachon.org and look up shows, look up the Morning Scramble, and you can listen to my show. You can listen to your own show, which I advise you do occasionally.
Yeah. Is that a hint? Is that a hint? I'm hearing you over there, Greg.
Just kidding.
Right. So anything else?
Oh, yeah. I went to Oktoberfest on Saturday at the Coop. Oktoberfest was always a private kind of group of individuals. Mm. Oren and Ann and the Salagis would trade back and forth. But Chris Anderson of the Coop offered his place to do it this year. Mm. And it was wonderful. Lauren and the Sinners came and played with Chris, and Mike Nichols was there playing the mouth harp, and it was a good time. And then I ran out of there at a little before four and went over to a wedding for the rest of the night.
Oh my gosh.
A beautiful outdoor wedding. The weather held up, so it was a good day, good week.
Indeed. All right. So how about you, Kevin? What were you up to this week?
It's been a busy week, and one of the highlights was Bruce Hallman actually suggested this. The Japanese community on Bainbridge Island is very active around the Executive Order 4099, mm-hmm. right? The internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, and they had lawyers who had represented a number of folks who had been basically resisted the internment, including Fred Korematsu, who will be featured as one of the heroes talks that Dr. Hubble's going to put on in another 3 weeks from now is when that's going to come up. But I did not know that Fred had received like the Congressional Medal of Honor from, I believe, President Bill Clinton. So, but they told a long and tortuous story of trying to raise awareness of that event in U.S. history. And one of the key points they really wanted to emphasize is, was there a military necessity to incarceration of mainly American citizens during that time? And they were finally able to prevail on that. So I'm glad that they are holding forward with the torch of setting the record straight. So it was great to hear from them. Mm. Also, a beautiful morning for rowing today. Flat water, mirror surface sunshine on Quartermaster Harbor. So can hardly argue with that. But another highlight of last week was the first talk in the Heroes series from Dr. Larry Hubble. Talked about John Lewis and was able to go into some details. Of course, Larry mentioned that he had actually worked on John's staff back in the day. So it definitely had a relationship there. But a number of folks showed up to hear that. And looking forward to the next one on the 14th of October, Eleanor Roosevelt will be featured. Boy. And you can hear Amy Dreher talk about Eleanor Roosevelt as well. She'll be helping to introduce that talk. So.
Oh, that'll be fascinating.
Is Eleanor going to be there?
Is not going to be able to join us.
In spirit.
So we've got to have that. But there's a couple other things people can put on their calendar while you're marking your calendar for October 14th, Eleanor Roosevelt, 7 o'clock at the Vashon High School Theater. Also tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the Vashon Methodist Church, Indivisible Vashon, we'll be having our open meeting for members and others in the community who want to join us. We will be talking about the election coming up. There's a really critical election right here in Washington State this November. If you don't know about it, show up and find out the details and how you can get involved. But we're also going to be talking about No Kings 2, which is next big movement showing how people are either unhappy, well, mainly unhappy, we think, with the current administration. That's going to be on the 18th of October. Put that on your calendar. And indivisiblevashon.org is the place to go find. Look for our protest page, find all kinds of details about what we're doing, including plans for one on Vashon. So lots to do coming up.
Well, I had kind of a quiet week, except last night. I went to Vashon Center for the Arts and got to see Sean Colvin play, and she was outstanding. Just terrific. Mm. You know, I haven't really heard a lot of her music. Of course, the couple of very, very famous songs that she did. But one of my favorite things that she did was had done in the past. She was singing with Alison Krauss, and they did The Boxer, which is a Paul Simon song, which is absolutely amazing. But it was really interesting. She had two guitars. She would transfer back and forth between the two. And it was interesting to hear just her singing, accompanying herself on the guitar. But it was really, really fun. And then she talked quite a lot, which I really appreciate when performers tell stories about themselves. And she told a story about being on stage with Taylor Swift, which I thought was pretty great. And Taylor called her up and asked her to come up and sing with her for one song. And so she came up and practiced. And Taylor tells her at the last moment, oh, and by the way, you're going to be riding up on the, riser, I think she called it. It's a thing that rises up from below the stage. And Sean said, so she spent the afternoon working. She had to squat down. She couldn't just stand up because if she stood up, it wouldn't look right as she came up. So she had to kind of squat down and then slowly stand up as the stage arose.
Like a Groucho Marx routine.
Yeah, and she said, man, my thighs were on fire. Anyway, that was pretty fun. And then she did an encore where she came out and played the piano for a couple of songs and then did one final song with the guitar. But anyway, just a great concert. Thoroughly had a great time with that.
Well, better coming up from under the stage than rising up to the top of a stadium like some of those.
Pink does. Oh, my gosh, she does some crazy stuff. Right. So let's see. Hey, today is October 7th. These are kind of fun ones. Bruce, by the way, Bruce Hallman was supposed to, was it Bruce who was hosting today or was it
No,
Amy?
It was Amy.
Oh, it was Amy who was hosting today. And Bruce jumped in because Amy had to go to this conference out in Montana. So Bruce jumped in, put together some stuff, and then he had to bail. So then I had to pick it up and go from there. So if we're a little disjointed, it's my fault.
It's normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Go with the punches here.
There you go. But today is the 7th, and it is National Chocolate-Covered Pretzel Day, which just kind of makes me gag a little.
Not me. I love those.
Really?
Yeah, chocolate-covered pretzels and yogurt-covered pretzels.
And then there's always the pretzels that have the chocolate inside of them, right?
Or the peanut butter inside of them.
All kinds of pretzel variations.
I could maybe go with the peanut butter, but chocolate?
Have you tried it?
No.
Well, then you can't knock it until you tried it.
I think I've heard that before. All right, so what else? Today is also a National Taco Day. That's Taco Tuesday. Mm. And I could get into that, that's for sure. And it's also National, Frappe Day. And I have no idea what that is.
It's a frappe.
Frappe,
it's onomatopoeia.
Like a drink?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's like a slushy.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I saw that. I said, I don't know what that is. So this is the 280th day of the year, 85 days to the new year, 79 until Christmas, 51 to Thanksgiving, and only 24 days to Halloween. How fun is that going to be? Got a few birthdays today. 1931, Desmond Tutu. Of course, Desmond died in 2021. In 1943, Oliver North of Iran-Contra acclaim. Okay, here's a biggie. 1952, Vladimir Putin. He is now 73 today.
A youngster.
Yeah. Well, it's surprising, actually. 1955, Yo-Yo Ma. And by the way, he was born in Paris, France. He is 70 today. Of course, he's the incredible cellist. Amazing, amazing cellist, by the way. And good old Simon Cowell, born in 1959. He's 66 today. I thought those are kind of an interesting combination.
Yeah, across the board.
Yeah. Something that our historian, Bruce Hallman, put together about today in history. 1777... The Americans defeat the British at the Second Battle of Saratoga, forcing the surrender of General, Burgoyne. I had to do a little research on him. He was born in 1722 in Sutton, England. He died June 4th, 1792. So that would be 1777 he lost. Yeah, so he lived several years after that. He was, of course, a British general. And he was defeated by a superior American force during the Saratoga Battle. That's in New York. And that was in 1777.
Not Saratoga and Cupertino down there where Apple is in the Silicon Valley? That's not where that battle took place?
That was not where that took place.
Okay, wrong battle. All right.
No, no. It was close. Close. Yeah. So, in 1913, 1868, Cornell University opened up in Ithaca, New York. In 1913, Ford introduces the first moving vehicle assembly line, which I thought was pretty fascinating. He introduced that moving assembly line at his Highland Park, Michigan factory, and it totally revolutionized the process of mass producing the Model T car, significantly reducing assembly time from 12 hours to 90 minutes. Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, of course, it made them a lot more affordable for the average American family.
And also caused a lot of repetitive
injuries
yeah. amongst the workers on the assembly line.
Sure. You know, what's amazing to me, Boeing right now is producing, I believe it's 38 737s a month out of the Renton factory.
That's moving right along.
38 airplanes a month. That's more than one a day. Isn't that amazing?
How many B, you know, bombers were?
Oh, during World War
during
II.
During World War II. Oh, they were cranking them out like, you know, unbelievable.
Well, the Ford Motor Company, they were making the, B-24s, I think. Uh-huh. And the pilots didn't have too much good to say about those airplanes. they were kind of Ford built, you know.
Yeah. You do find, it is amazing, though, how some of those guys got back, you know, without tails on the planes and things like that.
Falling apart. Yeah, indeed.
You know, Truman, you mentioned how many planes they're cranking out there at the factory there at Boeing. But what we don't know is how long the assembly line is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, days from, you know, start to finish. From
Actually, it's
quite, another interesting data point.
It's quite long, actually.
It's 91 minutes, I think.
Yeah. No, that was the Ford. That's the Model T.
Oh, you mean that's not the Boeing airplane. Okay.
You know, there's some interesting facts, though. The width, now let me get this right. The width of the fuselage, I think, of the 737 was determined by the railroad tracks in Utah.
They had to carry the fuselage, transport. Yeah,
they are built, I don't know where, in Kansas or somewhere. I don't remember the factory.
Boy, that sounds right.
Yeah, and then they bring them out here by train. In fact, they had one go off the tracks and dumped about three fuselages down in the river. I remember reading about that a few years ago, but pretty fascinating.
But the thing that's particularly fascinating about that, I didn't realize that was the case, is that means that the width of the fuselage of that particular model is determined by the Romans.
That's right.
Because those that distance between the wheels on their chariots is basically what ended up being the width of the tracks.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. So the Romans had an effect on the Boeing 737. And some of them I flew, I believe they did. Just kidding. I love the 737.
Well, there's Romans today, of course. You know.
Well, there's that. True. That's true. Romans, that's
but,
true.
Yeah, we're talking like the real
ancient Romans.
Historic
deal. Yeah. All right. So 1942, the U.S. and U.K. governments announced the establishment of the United Nations. You know, that is pretty darned amazing. Of course, it was, 42, it was before. Yeah, before the...
Yeah. 3 years before. Oh, yeah.
3 years before the end of the conflict.
That's interesting.
Right? I was thinking it was after.
I did, too, because it initially was called the League of Nations.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if that was 42, but I...
Yeah, kind
of the League of Nations came out of World War One.
Oh, World War One. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, then it didn't quite hold. It didn't do what people were hoping, right?
Yeah.
God, where's Bruce when you need him?
I know. Well, right, we do have the internet.
I would have thought the United Nations would have been after 45, after the end of the war.
Yeah, but, I would too.
I know that Churchill, you know, had talked a lot about the idea of, right, how to bring unity across the globe so they can reduce these conflicts. And so it's notable that Russia isn't on that list, right, that they didn't announce that they were part of it.
Exactly.
Which they ultimately became. And, you know, the reason they have a seat at the veto table is because they were there at the beginning.
That's right.
Helped set it up.
And I wonder who made the decision to cite it in New York, you know?
By the way, I'm looking at the definitive source of information.
Yes, Google.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it says, no, this is actually the United Nations website. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It says the United Nations is an international organization founded in 1945.
All right. Now, I'm going with Bruce's number here, so that's why I came up with 42.
I know. We'll have to have a little talk with Bruce. Maybe he knows something we don't.
Yeah, it could be.
Or typo.
Fat thumb.
Could be.
Yeah.
No, I'm going with Bruce here. So, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Let's put this on the agenda for next week, and we'll quiz him about
get to the bottom of this.
Exactly. All right. So hopefully he's got this one right. 2001 was the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan began. And it is considered the longest war in U.S. history. I always thought that Vietnam was, but I guess Afghanistan beat it, huh?
Yeah, I keep hearing that. Yeah. I haven't actually looked at the full dates, but yeah.
I find that interesting. And, of course, in 2023, Hamas attacks Israel, which began the whole Gaza kind of kerfuffle. And where are we now? You know, what's the latest? I mean, I hear Trump is announcing, oh, yeah, it's all over now because of him. But
well, there's a 20-point plan. Many of those points would not be accomplished probably within the next decade or two. But I don't know. We'll see. There's no definitive plan, and the final hostages have not been released.
And I think there's, what, like 44, they think maybe you're still alive?
Yeah, that is a controversial subject to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Although we've never shied away from controversy.
Well,
there's a lot of people are sort of in a black and white approach to that, which is if you say anything nice about the Palestinians, you're anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you support the Israelis, you support genocide. And it's not quite that simple, in my opinion, opinion.
Not quite black and white,
right?
Is it? Yeah, pretty gray.
Yeah.
But remember that the views and opinions expressed on the program are not necessarily those of, and so forth. Yeah, Kevin.
Yes. I was not able to attend the Gaza movie that was on Tuesday last week, which would have gone into some detail about the journalists who are covering that conflict and some of the challenges that they face, many who have lost their lives now. But yeah, I agree, Craig. You know, when you faced with this dilemma of saying one thing or another about either side, and it's sort of like, how do people interpret that, right? It's really easy for people to go into, there's two sides to the story. Well, here there's, I don't know, how many sides to the story? There's lots and lots of them. The one thing that I did, the analysis that I heard about the 21-point plan is that Hamas was saying they would never give up their arms. They would never disarm, which is one of the elements. And they apparently, the last I heard, and that was been now a couple of days ago, said that they had agreed to go ahead and work to release the hostages.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean that they've agreed to the plan in its entirety. Right. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of more shoes to drop, right, as we see how this really evolves. And in an unstable part of the world, which has been that way for, of course, my lifetime, really challenging to see if they can hold it together.
Well, you know, after the attack in 2023, I thought of, you know, when the football team has one guy that messes up and the whole team gets punished. You know, that's kind of was the mentality of the Israelis. They were attacked by small group of Hamas people, and they trashed the whole country, which is, you know, kind of bad deal.
There's another interesting thing. We've talked about this in years past on this show, is democracy, and we use China and Israel as two examples, and particularly Netanyahu. And more recently, before the Gaza conflict, now 2 years old, is what Netanyahu was trying to do with the courts in Israel, to basically take more control to the executive.
And gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's what, and of course, we were really curious, you know, what was happening. These Israeli people turned out in huge numbers, right, to oppose that. I think the other thing, Netanyahu has to go back to his government and see whether they will buy into this plan. There's some hardliners there who will not do that easily, if at all. Right. And then the other consequence is, what happens if this all comes to an end and Netanyahu now is in a non-wartime posture with Israel, and do they go back to elections, and what are his chances of being reelected? And then will that allow him to actually get off the hook for some of the crimes that he is accused of?
Exactly.
And has yet to be tried.
And it's going to be
a lot of hard dug in positions, I think, in terms of what people are willing to give up.
Exactly.
Including Netanyahu's own freedom and not going to jail. He could be convicted.
And so you kind of wonder, I mean, it's like we're talking about Trump trying to be elected so to keep himself out of jail. It's kind of like Netanyahu's trying to keep the war going to keep himself out of jail, you know. Very complex, complex thing. I'm glad that I don't have to make any decisions about that, that's for sure.
We all are.
No, I'm not. Thanks a lot, Craig. I appreciate
that's
that.
A vote of confidence there,
Trevor. Yeah, I got it. Hey, guess who's here? Well, we're delighted to welcome Tamara. Thanks a lot for coming in. Oh, well, let me see if I got your mic on here. You want to make sure?
Am I on?
Yeah, you are. You're there. As I mentioned earlier, Tamara's going to be writing Herd on this Voice of Ash on upcoming event, The Voice, which is a huge fundraising contest that we've got coming up Friday the 17th at Vashon Center for the Arts. So before we get into that, though, Tamara, tell us, who are you? What's going on with you?
Yeah. Well, long time. I belong to Vashon and been here forever. And I do events. That's kind of my...
Your thing,
25 years with the Oregon Country Fair and Earth Fair and Dig and just, you know, events here and there. We're lucky to have you. It's a great way to live your life, gathering people together and making community.
Things happen. Yeah.
Music and lots of music coming up. A lot of singers are signing up.
Oh, good.
And
good.
It's so great to see these people, especially the youth. Yeah. We have two different categories, 18 and under, and then adults.
Okay.
And people.
So it is 18 and under, not under 18. Is 18 included in the youth?
You know, actually, at 18, you're an adult.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So it's actually under 18.
Okay. We've got quite a few 17-year-olds.
Oh, so excellent.
Well, that's great.
Uh-huh. And so I didn't get to see it live last year, but I did see it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
It was so wonderful. there's all kinds of ways to support it.
There we go.
You know, you can support it by buying tickets, although no one's turned away. You can support it by voting. Voting's the funnest way. And so we have two winners in both the youth and the adult. And we have the judges. Our judges are fantastic this year. Martin Fevrier. Doug Pine.
Oh, my gosh.
And Bruce Ferris.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was still kind of looking for a female judge, but like all my women friends are doing amazing things out in the world right now. So,
that is a great panel, though. Oh my gosh, you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And and so there are two big winners in each category. There is the judge's winner, who they think should be, you know, the best voice on Vashon. Mm-hmm. And then it's also by counting votes.
Oh.
People can vote online. There's a GiveButter. So there's a QR code that will be up on stage the whole time. You just hit that and you get to vote for your contestants.
Oh.
And each vote is $1. And you can vote lots of times.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of
times. So it's people's choice and the judge's choice.
Exactly. So. Mm-hmm.
And you vote like the people's choice. You vote like we vote for mayor on the island.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
So if you got a ringer in there, you know, throw in $100, folks. Come on.
And, you know, a few people have already.
Good.
Been really great. And
So they can vote now.
Well, not really. They're buying tickets.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And Isaac Slade is performing again.
Excellent.
So he's going to open up for us, and then he's going to play again while we're scrambling, tallying votes, getting all that ready. Sarah Howard is going to be emceeing.
Excellent.
And she's just so great. And then Nick Kuhlman's my stage manager.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be fun no matter what.
No kidding. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So how many contestants do you have so far? Did I steal somebody's question?
Well, Kevin, I think he had a question.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I was just going to say, Tamara, you mentioned Earth Day. And I was thinking, hey, that's probably, you know, where you and I met. But then I realized that, no, actually, you and I met at a strawberry festival some years ago. It's notable for a couple of reasons, because we were collecting signatures on a petition for Puget Sound Energy to shut down their coal plant.
Oh.
And that is going to happen now at the end of this calendar year. They
right
are not absolutely required. Yeah. But I'll tell you, the coolest thing is that I remember we're out there at Strawberry Festival collecting signatures. And I know you walked up and said, hey, what you got there? And I started to explain it to you. And you said, you asked a few questions, And then I said, well, who are you? And you said, I'm your next volunteer. And you guys can do, you can really up your act term getting signatures. that was so awesome, because, we collected like 1,300 signatures that weekend.
Wow. Nice.
Thank you, Tamara, because it would not have happened, right, without that guidance. So
that's great.
How I remember our first conversation.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
And then we've done Earth Days together,
mm-hmm.
which is my second favorite day, right next to the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And the days get longer.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, where's Halloween in that group of days?
yeah.
Which I always say is one of my favorite days here on Vashon.
It is good. Let's see, what else is there?
Well, I tell you, we do have a couple other questions.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I want to plug our sponsors.
Oh, absolutely.
Please do.
You have no problem there. We were kind of curious what the prizes, if any, were.
These
magnificent trophies.
We have the trophies. The trophies came in the mail the other day.
Oh, boy.
So we have that. And also, you get to perform at the next year's performance.
Mm.
So Sabine is coming back. He was last year's youth performer. Right. He's coming back to perform. And Havala Rand, who won last year, she could not come back on the 17th. But she was here at First Friday performing.
Mm-hmm.
What a songwriter.
Oh.
What a voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And really fun person, too. So,
and it's Helen, is she?
Pendergrass.
Yeah. She's going to be back? Or?
She is coming back. Yeah.
As a contestant? Or?
As a contestant.
All right.
Yeah.
Good,
and
good.
She, it's the judges award that gets to come back. She did perform last June.
Yeah.
She came here and performed.
I remember that. Yeah.
Can you tell us about any other contestants, or do you want to hold off on that?
Well, you know, we've got some great ones. Wes is coming back.
Oh, Wes, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wes is super. Mm-hmm. Oh, Guido, too. Yeah.
Guido's coming.
Yeah.
All right, all right.
If I can get the accordion and the bass and all that stuff figured. I mean, that if it wasn't for Sarah Howard, let me tell you, she has been such a godsend. The tech part of this is so technical.
Oh, shoot. Who'd have thought?
I think that's why they call it tech. Yeah, I could be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. And thank goodness, you know, for Sarah. She goes, oh, I'll convert that file to blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, do you have any special crazy acts or anything you might have?
Well, actually, I heard a rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Brown Briefly is going to come on.
Really?
Yeah, but they only need.
Do you guys know anything about this?
Well, we better think about it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you need a backing track, I need it yesterday.
Oh. We do, and you can't have it yesterday.
We haven't figured out which one it is yet. Have we or have we?
Well, we have, but we need to. Oh my, that's a good point. Mm. We'll talk after the show.
And it has to be in an MP3 format, just so you know. Oh, yeah,
We can handle that. No problem.
Well, I think the key question is how many can we give you, and then we can downselect.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. Yeah, maybe we'll give her all of them, then we'll decide which one we're going to do. And by the way, our primary singers from last year are not going to be there this year. Uh-huh. So consequently, it may be a bit of lip syncing instead of singing.
Fun.
We only have
well,
one.
You and I did that. We lipsticked the year before.
Lipsticked it?
Yeah, we did. We lipsticked it.
Yeah, we
stinked
did. We did. Oh, we had a couple of great singers though last year, Lynn and Michael, which are great.
Well, you know, it's just amazing to see how folks just come out and. I missed Sabine last year, but people were telling me about his performance with the hat and kind of dancing around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it is great fun. Last year or the year before when Kate Dowling did Wrecking Ball? That was an incredible routine.
Well, that was back when it really wasn't a singing contest. It was still lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right.
That may be. Yeah.
I think last year was the first year that we actually had live singers.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And it was at the movie theater. And this year it's at VCA, which will be fun.
Yeah. Doors at 6:30 on Friday the 17th. And my plan is to start by 7.
All right. Kevin?
Yeah. You know, I was kind of curious in terms of VCA versus the theater. I mean, I've been in both buildings. What do you expect? Is a VCA going to give you like more opportunities, or is it different in any way?
Well, they do have a grand piano, and they have their own tech guys, and they have all the equipment. Yeah, it's going to be, and again, you know, like. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to go down. But, you know, there's Jesse Bell running the tech there, and I'll have a stagehand there. But they're all in-house. Mm-hmm. Of course, we can't eat popcorn in there, which is a drawback. Mm-hmm. But
that's a big drawback.
It is kind of a big
No, that's okay. It'll be great fun without the popcorn.
It seems like it's a bigger stage.
It's much bigger. Yeah, better lighting, better, you know, it's mm-hmm. set up. It's much, much, much newer. Mm-hmm. And it is set up to be a performance
live
center. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
nice.
And the acoustics are fantastic for singing. I find them to be a little bit difficult for speaking,
really?
Personally, but yeah, it's great. And it's fun. It's a fun venue. You said Doors at 6:30. I assume you're going to try and start the show at 7?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's the plan.
Okay.
And if you do buy a ticket, how much are they? Or is it
buyer's
choice?
Well, if you go to the website,
right. mm-hmm.
and there's a QR code, and it will take you to Give Butter. And I think Give Butter.
Oh.
GiveButter. And I just learned about this. It is a great fundraising website for nonprofits.
Oh, okay.
And we used them last year.
Oh.
And yeah, there's a QR code, and you just hit that, and it will tell you. It will tell you, you know, it's free, but go ahead and buy a ticket anyway.
We would appreciate it, of course.
Yes, of course. Well, you know, that was a fundraiser that we started, actually, I think 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we found that it was more, instead of a fundraiser, it was more of a fun-raiser because people just had a blast with it. But I think, actually, the Voice of Vashon made a little money last year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah, which is nice. We do have expenses, even though almost everybody here is a volunteer. And we get paid, Truman and I get paid what we're worth.
And do you know how amazing that is? I mean, we are so lucky to have this resource.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's going to come in more and more handy.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going to go on out there. No. And to have a community radio that is, you know, for us, by us, supporting us.
I know. That your the board of directors here are all volunteer Vashonites, you know, and all of our producers and disc jockeys are all Vashonites and
all volunteer.
And now we'll be you know, we may be taking the place of Voice of America or NPR, unfortunately.
No kidding.
You know? I know.
Yeah. Hey, you know, about 2-3 weeks ago, I think it was, we had a gentleman from Belfast, Maine, who came out, and he was from a little low-power station out there. And he was, you know, really excited about what we were doing here on Vashon. And just yesterday, a gentleman came over from Wenatchee, who was also with a low power station there. And he happened to come into the print shop where my daughter Molly works and said, "Oh, I'm really disappointed that the station isn't open right now." And he explained that he was with this little low power station. And Molly said, "Oh, well, I happen to be a DJ at KBSH." And he went, "Oh my gosh, really?" And they did a selfie and did a whole big bunch of things. So
I saw them.
Did you see them?
I saw them out there in front of the sign taking the selfie.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I think this is really cool that there's this community around low-power radio stations. Right. So.
I know. I always think of Northern Exposure.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although nobody's as good at looking as Chris, whatever his name was.
Well, let me tell you, the other morning during the morning scramble, early in the morning, right? I mean, after 9 o'clock, Molly and I looked out and there was a deer walking down Main Street on Vashon. Yeah. And we said, gosh, Northern Exposure. Here we are.
One step away from being a moose.
Exactly. And the metro bus had to stop and allow the deer to slowly walk down the
road. Oh, that is classic.
Isn't that classic?
That is really wonderful.
They just cracked me up.
Hey, us about who's sponsoring.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
So this year, our sponsors are Flintworks. Do you know Chris and Nancy O'Brien?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, of course.
And he has all those killer motorcycles up there. And we, I hope I don't forget anybody. We have the pizza place is donating pizza, Osolio Mio, for us to eat back there. Yum. And we have Earl.
At Island Lumber. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and good for Earl. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Wow. And Miriam at Island Insurance and Pandora's Box.
Excellent.
And the pharmacy is like our anchor. And yay, pharmacy. Thank you so much.
Yay to all of our underwriters or sponsors in that instance.
Yeah, some of them are underwriters and sponsors.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So how many contestants do you have so far? Do you know?
I know a lot, okay?
Okay. That's good.
It
a
is
lot's
good.
Good.
It is good. You know, the first song's going to be shorter than what people probably wanted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, anybody that has the courage.
Chutzpah.
To get up there. I so want them to perform.
When are you going to get up in one of these?
On the 12th.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, the 12th of never.
Wow, you set me up for that one. That's great. Because I haven't heard you at the coop yet.
I know. I only sing at home.
Well, we're holding our breath.
Yeah.
Don't hold it too long. Is that what you're telling us?
Let's see. I was thinking I had another. Let me see.
I think that's about it. Just sort of what if anything else you want to tell us?
Yeah.
Just that how much I appreciate the actual radio station, The Voice of Vashon, has been so supportive. And Friday night, I don't know if you guys heard it or caught it, it was a kick. I mean, we had a lot of fun. And these guys are running wires and let me get that guitar hooked up and, you know, going above and beyond. And Susan McCabe has just been amazing, you know, stepping in when she stepped in. And
that reminds me, is this going to be videotaped also?
It's going to be live on YouTube.
Live on YouTube.
And I'm sure it will probably be video too.
But live on YouTube.
Yeah, and you'll be able to vote from home on GiveButter. The QR code's going to be right there. You just click it, and voila.
Okay.
It'd be easy. It'd be so easy, you might say it's like butter.
We're getting all the squares up and running, so we'll be able to take
credit cards.
We'll be able to take money in every way you can imagine, and and I'm making up these fake dollar bills that you can buy, so that you can, you know, if you come in with $20 and you want, you know, votes, ballots. Right. You'll be able to buy ballots, and we'll be collecting them. So any way that I can think of to get some money.
So you got a $20 bill. You can buy ballots with that $20 and vote for whomever.
Exactly.
Oh, that is very clever. Very clever.
No shortage of ways to vote, and no shortage of ways to donate to the Voice of Asha.
There is, exactly. And I'm sure there's probably some more out there I haven't thought of yet.
Well, cool. You know, I will say this about the Voice of Ashen. I mean, we you know, promote it like crazy because we believe in it. So, but you know, we've got some technological changes coming up here. Not this year. We're going to try and do radio for TV, or is it TV for radio? I can't remember which way it goes. But anyway, we're going to have TV cameras right here in the studio. And
wow.
So the Brown Briefly may go live on YouTube.
Fun. We'll see. We can make commercials and
no commercials. Sorry. We can't do commercials.
I have to comb my hair.
Okay. Well, we could make commercials like for, you know, the deer or whatever.
Yeah, okay. There we go. We can do that.
Yeah, no, it'll be great. That's actually, Truman was telling me this morning that this particular microphone stand is set up low like that so that we can have the cameras up here above us and actually see us.
Yeah.
Well, that's. I wonder if people are going to be doing like cooking shows.
I don't know exactly. Well, right. You know, we do have Stirring the Pot right now, and on Stirring the Pot, they don't actually cook during that show, but they do bring in food and they do talk about the recipes and how to do it. So, who knows? You know,
and we have guests that we love. That sometimes we'll bring in books and charts and things like that, and they'll talk about them, and they'll go right here, and it's like, can you hold that a little closer to the microphone so our listeners can see it?
Yeah.
But now they will be here pretty soon.
Yeah, so. We'll be soon.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're all excited about it.
And we're excited that you stepped in and helped project manage this the show. So thank you very much, Tammy.
You bet. Thanks for giving me a little airspace to promote it. I hope everybody comes out. I know that you'll have a great time if you come out.
Absolutely.
I mean, the judges are funny. Everybody is. It's going to be super sweet. And well, Sarah Howard is a phenomenal MC.
She is.
She's a great talent.
Exactly.
And Mick
is Mick.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody laughs when you say Mick Gullop. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, and the other thing is that really struck me is, you know, you're sitting last year, right, sitting in the theater, and it's like, here comes a person on stage, and it's like, hey, I saw them at the pharmacy, or hey, then they let loose with this song, and it's like, you know, you just don't know the talent until you're sitting there watching it. And so not only is it fun, it's great entertainment, but it's also like you just get to know our community a little bit better.
Exactly.
That's what really inspired me.
And it's creating community, and it's also, in a way, letting everybody know they belong. Oh, you belong. Oh, yeah, we belong. Yeah. It is, right now, I think, it's probably the most important thing.
You're right. And we do try to be welcoming, and this is a real welcoming event.
It is.
I will call you after, or write you after the show, so you can figure out what the Brown Briefleys are doing. And
because I've been texting you.
Like, I know you have, and I haven't been texting back because I didn't have any answers.
I'm like, did he give me a fake number?
I didn't have any. I should have just written back and said, I don't have any answers yet.
Kevin, go ahead.
We should let you know we're contemplating props.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, we'll be bringing our own props.
But, oh, good.
You know. Contemplating props. So, you know, plan, you know, make accommodations. We'll need a little bit of that stage space.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Not a
but
lot.
But you can't get on that grand piano. Sorry.
No, sorry. That's it. Yeah. No tap dancing. No tap dancing on the stage.
No lying on the stage. Mentioned it, we'll try to factor
Michelle
into the
Pfeiffer.
Plan.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, Tamara, thanks again for coming in. And once again, folks, it's Friday, October 17th, 6:30, door open, 7 o'clock show. And we really appreciate you coming in, Tamara.
Thank you so much.
This has been great. Well, folks, we've got a few more things that we want to discuss in today's show, and talking about some of the
which one did you want things to take up there?
Oh, wait a minute. I got two turned off there.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I turned.
Which topic in the last few minutes do you want to touch
well,
upon?
Well, I got a couple of science news items that I thought were kind of interesting. One of them is that researchers have made a breakthrough discovery that could totally transform agriculture in the U.S. And what that is they found that, you know, they're trying to fix nitrogen in the soil. The nitrogen gets depleted in the soil. And so what we do to replace it is we fertilize the heck out of our soil, putting nitrogen back into the soil, right? Well, they've discovered that if they put crushed limestone in the soil, that it, oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. It's zinc. They put in zinc in the soil. That helps fix the nitrogen so that they use a lot less fertilizer in their crop production, which I think is pretty darn amazing.
It sounds like it, as long as there aren't any major side effects or anything.
Well, so far they don't know. You know,
it helps you avoid a cold. If you eat those vegetables.
The vegetables from that. But no, but you know, that reminds me of the other thing that. They found Mexico? They found that they had liquid mercury that they were using to fill streams and ponds. I mean, fake streams and ponds. And did you read about that?
I did not.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. You know, mercury is a horrible substance, but there was a lot of it. They don't quite know how they came up with all of it. But
who? You're talking about the Aztecs?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, way back. Anyway, the other thing I was going to talk about was the limestone. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to make sure this study wasn't funded by the limestone producers.
No.
Or anything.
No. No, the limestone
but
one.
I will follow up on that. The whole notion of nitrogen fertilizers, right?
Yeah.
Two things. One is the runoff.
Exactly.
Which the nitrogen goes into the water, which increases algae blooms, which creates other problems for waterborne animals. Mm-hmm. But also, apparently, the fertilizer is an industry that is really hard to decarbonize. Mm. Unlike electricity, where we have windmills and solar panels, steel, fertilizer, and so on. So if limestone production is a more climate-friendly alternative to producing fertilizer, meaning less carbon, and it doesn't run off, right, Dan? That mm-hmm. sounds like it could be pretty, that would be good to make that happen.
Actually, I got a couple of things turned around here. The zinc is the one that is fixing the nitrogen.
The zinc, got it. Okay.
And the limestone is actually storing carbon. That's so we've got two things occurring there, limestone and zinc. Limestone is absorbing carbon out of the atmosphere, and zinc is fixing nitrogen. So anyway, a couple of things with agriculture that are huge. Yeah, Kevin?
Well, and there's another thing to consider as well, because we are looking at the use of biochar. Biochar is basically, I would say most people would, the closest equivalent would be charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that you take those invasive species like Scotch broom and Himalayan blackberries and all those things that, you know, you don't really want growing in your yard, so mm-hmm. you pull them out. And then if you can turn them into biochar, you can put that back as a soil amendment, which also sequesters carbon and increases plant growth and plant health. So maybe you have several different alternatives for that improvement you're talking about.
Well, you know, the thing that's always struck me is you're talking about biofuel, you know, corn producing ethanol and those mm-hmm. things. And I have always said, boy, if you think the oil wars are something, wait until the food wars start. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that makes absolutely zero sense to me. To make biofuel. Mm-hmm. I mean, good Lord. But by doing that, I mean, you're going to be reducing food production to produce fuel. But instead, these two events are going to be increasing food production, which is, I think, where we need to go.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. I just found that interesting.
And, you know, there are boat companies and airplane companies working on basically high-density energy storage batteries that you can actually mm-hmm. fly. Now, you're not going to be flying to Hawaii, right,
no.
anytime soon on a battery-operated airplane. But for short hops, mm-hmm. Apparently that technology is also moving forward. So this whole notion that we hear about sustainable aviation fuels, and the Boeing company, of course, is all in on that for a variety of different reasons. And some of the people are like, wait a minute, we're taking food away.
Exactly.
If we do that, just like you said. And the sustainable aviation fuels, one of their biggest challenges, there's not enough of it.
Exactly.
And so what resources do you need to consume to produce it? So it's a tricky situation, one that cool heads need to prevail to find out the right long-term answer.
Exactly. Just two more quick news things is that we had a former Skyline High School student was one of the candidates picked for the next NASA class. That's Lauren Edgar. She's 40 years old, an experienced geologist, and she's one of the 10 chosen, which is pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
And another local, we have a Seattle scientist, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine, Mary E. Brunko. She's from the Institute of Systems Biology, and she won it for discoveries in controlling the immune system.
Fantastic.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah. We've got a couple of locals did it.
Can I comment on what's coming up next week?
I was just about to ask. Took the words right out of my mouth.
I know we're right up against it. But next week, our own Martin Koenig will be with us. He now has a show in the gallery at VCA, Balkan Voices, which is a wonderful display of his photographs that he took throughout the Balkan countries. Back in the 70s primarily, and really preserves the culture of the times. And he has a show that he helped put together called Balkan Night at VCA this Saturday at 7:30, that's the October 11th, where numerous local Greek, Croatian, all of the various Balkan groups are coming in and dancing and singing at VCA. Again, Saturday, 7:30, it's called Balkan Night, and I would highly recommend it. It should be great fun.
Really interesting. Well, folks, hey, we are totally out of time. So for Craig and Kevin and myself and in absentia, Amy and Bruce, we thank you all for listening to the Brown Briefly, and we will see you all again next week.